Translation. Then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, who possesses full knowledge and who is unlimited, assuming the role of a child in a family of cowherd men, and standing all alone just as before, with a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his cowherd friends. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Hari Ki Jai. The word Agada Bodham, meaning full of unlimited knowledge, is significant in this verse. The Lord's knowledge is unlimited, therefore one cannot touch where it ends, just as one cannot measure the ocean. What is the extent of our intelligence in comparison to the vast expanse of water in the ocean? On my passage to America, how insignificant the ships were, like a matchbox in the midst of the ocean. Krishna's intelligence resembles the ocean, for one cannot imagine how vast it is. The best course, therefore, is to surrender to Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. The word Advayam, meaning one without a second, is also significant because Brahma was overcast by Krishna's Maya. He was thinking himself the supreme. In the material world, everyone thinks, I am the best man in this world. I know everything. One thinks, why should I read Bhagavad Gita? I know everything. I have my own interpretation. Brahma, however, was able to understand. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Gaunitai ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Krishna wants to stay. Brahma, however, was able to understand that the Supreme Personality is Krishna, Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ananda of Krishna's names, therefore, is Param Ishvara. Now Brahma saw Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan, not demonstrating his opulence, but standing just like an innocent boy with some food in his hand, loitering with his cowherd boyfriends, calves and cows. Brahma did not see Krishna as Chaturbhuja, the opulent Narayan. Rather, he simply saw an innocent boy. Nonetheless, he could understand that although Krishna was not demonstrating his power, he was the supreme person. People generally do not appreciate someone unless he shows something wonderful. But here, although Krishna did not manifest anything wonderful, Brahma could understand that the same wonderful person was present like an ordinary child. Although he was the master of the whole creation, thus Brahma prayed, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. You are the original person, the cause of everything. I bow down to you. This was his realization, Tam Aham Bhajami. This is what is wanted, Vedeshu Durlabham. One cannot reach Krishna simply by Vedic knowledge, Adurlabham Atma Bhakto. But when one becomes a devotee, then one can realize him. Brahma therefore became a devotee. In the beginning he was proud of being Brahma, the Lord of the universe. But now he understood, here is the Lord of the universe. I'm simply an insignificant agent. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna was playing like a dramatic actor because Brahma had some false prestige, thinking he had some power. Krishna showed him his real position. A similar incident occurred when Brahma went to see Krishna in Dvarka. When Krishna's doorman informed Krishna that Lord Brahma had arrived, Krishna responded, which Brahma? Ask him which Brahma. The doorman relayed this question and Brahma was astonished. Is there another Brahma besides me? He thought. When the doorman informed Lord Krishna, it is the four-headed Brahma, Lord Krishna said, oh, four-headed Brahma, who others? Show him. This is Krishna's position. For Krishna, the four-headed Brahma is insignificant, to say nothing of four-headed scientists. Materialistic scientists think that although this planet Earth is full of opulence, all others are vacant, because they simply speculate this is the scientific conclusion. But from the Bhagavatam, we understand that the entire universe is full of living entities everywhere. Thus it is the folly of the scientists, and although they do not know anything, they mislead people by presenting themselves as scientists, philosophers and men of knowledge. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So I want to wish you a wonderful good morning. thank you for attending the Bhagavatam class. I was expecting a much smaller audience because my senior, Gauranga Prabhu, His Grace Gauranga Prabhu, is speaking at Soho, so I was expecting most of you would be listening to that instead of coming here. But I'm very grateful to the Bhaktivedanta Manor for giving me this opportunity to try and serve you in some small way. And I humbly beg for your prayers and for your forgiveness for anything that I say that is wrong already. This is my first Bhagavatam class. What to say? It's probably the last. But in any case, thank you so much for having me here. And please bestow your blessings upon me. Tatro vahat pashupa vamsa sisutva natyam. Brahmad vayam paramananta magada bodham. Vatsan sakin iva pura parito vichin vad ekam sapani kavalam parameshtya chasta. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine. Nirvishesha sunyavadi pastachari shatarine jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shivasari gaur bhaktavrinda hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama 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 Hare Hare. I'll read the translation once more. Then Lord Brahma saw the absolute truth, who is one without a second, possesses full knowledge, and who is unlimited, assuming the role of a child in a family of cowherd men, and standing all alone, just as before, with a morsel of food in his hand, searching everywhere for the calves and his cowherd friends. So I understand that we've been hearing the Brahma Vimohan Leela up until now. And we're getting closer and closer to the point where Lord Brahma is going to offer his prayers to Krishna and understand his mistake. But here, Brahma is starting to understand his mistake. He's starting to come to the point of understanding, okay, I've done something wrong to Krishna, or maybe I misunderstood this pastime. And for me, there were four striking points that really came out. If those of you who have the verse in front of you, you can maybe follow. But those that don't, really try to hear these four points. The first of which that I took away that really struck me from the purport of Srila Prabhupada is that Krishna is full of knowledge. And we cannot comprehend the vastness of his knowledge. Prabhupada explains that just as one cannot measure the ocean, one cannot touch where Krishna's knowledge ends. And then he describes humbly Srila Prabhupada saying, just as when I was on my passage to America, how insignificant the ship was, like a matchbox in an endless ocean, which is compared to the knowledge of Krishna. That how vast is Krishna's knowledge? It's untouchable. You cannot touch the end of Krishna's knowledge. How magnificent is Krishna? How grand is Krishna? Further to this, I found some verses in Bhagavad Gita 11:38. Vetasi vedyam chaparam chadhama tvaya tatam vishvam ananta rupa. This is Bhagavad Gita 11:38. And in the translation, it says, you are the knower of everything, and you are all that is knowable. You are the supreme refuge above the material modes. O limitless form, this cosmic manifestation is pervaded by you. And then in chapter 9, we all know that Krishna talks about of this, I am this. He says in 9:19, I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain. I am immortality and I am also death personified. Both spirit and matter are in me. And 9:17, I am the father of this universe, the mother, the support of the grandsire. When we hear these verses, actually, for me anyway, I find that Krishna seems a little far. When we hear of the magnificence and the brilliance of Krishna, I sometimes think, well, That's very difficult for me to understand. How can one understand this, that I give heat and I withhold and send forth the rain? I am immortality and I am also death personified. How does one create a relationship with someone who is like that? If you were to imagine someone in your life that was death personified, and also giving heat and withholding rain, and he's the father of the universe, the mother, the support and the grandsire. For me, Krishna feels really far. And I found that actually something that really struck me was that, despite this feeling of Krishna feeling really far, we can by deduction understand that his omniscience or his knowledge, his capacity to be all knowledge, there's no end to his knowledge. Despite this omniscience, despite this all-knowing quality of Krishna, there is something we can understand which is a lot closer to us. That someone that knows everything must mean by deduction that he is everywhere. Right? If he knows everything past, present, and future, that means he must be past, present, and future also. He must be present. And so Krishna is actually very, very close. He was there at the time when we were in our womb, in the womb of our mother. He was there when we were children, without the capability, without the capacity to read and write. Krishna was there when we were teenagers, fueled with desire. Krishna was there, is there. As adults, as we chase those desires, Krishna will be there at the end when no one else is there. Krishna is always there. And this is actually a very touching point, that actually Krishna is there the moment that you turn to him. Most of the time we are facing the other way. We're absorbed in aham and mameti, me and mine, absorbed in this constant race of trying to fulfill my desires, my prestige, my ego. Ooh, it's all about me. But actually, no, by just turning to Krishna, we can understand that Krishna is present everywhere. And actually, when I was in America, the Pandavasena just recently came back from America. A few of our devotees here came, I'm noticing. But when we were in America, Sachinandan Maharaj, His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj, he showed a picture of a bluish-blackish hand, Krishna, and he was holding a note. He was holding what looked like a post-it note. And on this post-it note, it said something very nice. It said, trying to connect with you. So you can imagine in your mind, Krishna holding this note, trying to connect with you. So there's two ways of understanding this, Maharaj was explaining. One is that we may have given this note to Krishna, trying to connect with you, Krishna. Or alternatively, Krishna is giving this note to us, trying to connect with you. Simply by this meditation of Krishna trying to connect with us, us trying to connect with Krishna, immediately Krishna feels really close. That picture was really striking for me. And how can we connect with Krishna? You're all Vaishnavas, you all know. Connecting with Krishna through the means of the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudho Nitya Mukto Binatva Nama Namino Binatva Nama Namino. Non-different is Krishna to the holy name. And therefore, he's there the moment that we turn to Krishna through the holy name. How can we connect with Krishna? There's another verse here. Man mana bhava mad bhakto, engaging the mind. And how does one engage the mind? In Srimad Bhagavatam, it's explained. In verse, in the first canto, in second chapter, verse 14, in the translation. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Connect with Krishna with one-pointed attention, constantly hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, shravanam, kirtanam. Remember the worship, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. Protector of the devotees, yeah. So that brought me on to the second point. So the first theme that I just explored, or I tried to explore, I hope I didn't make you fall asleep, was that Krishna is full of knowledge, and we cannot comprehend how vast his knowledge is. But he is also quite close. Despite being this magnificent, unending knowledge, he is still very close, and we can connect with him through these means. The second theme that I really took away was that of Sharanagati. So Krishna describes in this first paragraph, Srila Prabhupada describes in this first paragraph of the purport that Krishna is full of unlimited knowledge, and this intelligence resembles the ocean, for one cannot imagine how vast it is. So then Prabhupada explains, the best course, therefore, is to surrender to Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. Don't try to measure Krishna. Therefore, surrender to Krishna. This is the best course. Sharanagati is something that a lot of devotees speak about, and I feel very unqualified to speak about surrender because I don't think I'm quite there yet. But what I can share is something that I've heard recently about Sharanagati. The common understanding is that this word translation is surrender. But something I heard recently, and which Sachinanda Maharaj has spoken about, is that when you break down the word, Sharana means to take shelter, and Gati means to go towards. Sharanagati means to go towards shelter. And one can actually observe very, very quickly how advanced or how much advancement one is making by observing how much am I turning to Krishna in every circumstance of my life. How much am I taking shelter of Krishna in every circumstance of my life? Srila Prabhupada was once asked by a devotee, what is the meaning of humility? How can one understand humility? And Prabhupada, this is paraphrased, Prabhupada said that one can understand one's humility or how one has been surrendered by seeing that actually nothing will save me. Not my wife, not my children, not my money, not my prestige. Even says, not my gun. He says that in Prabhupada's words. Not my gun. Nothing will save me but the grace of Krishna. Nothing will save me. And this is a really, I mean, for me, it's quite a high understanding. But I guess the understanding is that we're not really right now aiming for perfection. We see perfection, we want to be surrendered. But how to be surrendered is through making progress. Sometimes in the vision of seeing Sharanagati, seeing taking shelter of Krishna fully, we think that, oh, it's not possible. I'm so far away from Sharanagati, I'm so far from taking shelter, let me not try. But actually, the process is to understand it's about small progress. Small progress. Small steps towards that perfection. And that can be actually observed on a day-to-day basis. I know some devotees who are writing every day about their what they feel they've achieved in that day in their Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we take it from Ekadashi to Ekadashi, that we reflect how many of us actually do that. But how many of us actually reflect? Instead of just doing, how many of us are really conscious? And I'm speaking to myself. How many of us are really conscious? That am I taking shelter of Krishna at any moment, at every moment? Or have there been moments in my day or moments in my last 2 weeks where I feel I've taken shelter of Krishna, where I've turned to Krishna, that you are my shelter, my dear Lord. On my own strength, what can I do? See, something that taking shelter or Sharanagati is a weakness. In the material world, people think, why would one want to take shelter of somebody else? I have an opulence, Prabhupada describes further in the purport about, everyone thinks I'm the best man in this world. I know everything. Why should I read Bhagavad Gita? I know everything. I have my own interpretation. Why should I take shelter of Krishna? So I want to actually turn to you because this was not in my notes, but I wanted to ask, why are you taking shelter of Krishna? You look at me and I look at you. Why? Why do you take shelter in Krishna? Why not take shelter somewhere else? Leaves you in? To take shelter elsewhere leaves you in frustration. Okay. Wonderful. Yeah. There is no other shelter. Really? Do we really believe that there is no other shelter? Oh, yeah. Depends how burnt you've been. Yeah, I know. Any other reasons? Why do we take shelter in Krishna? He's merciful. Krishna is merciful. He's nice. Yeah, Krishna is nice. Yes, Prabhu? Fall downs are painful. Mm. Yeah. The mercy of the spiritual master. Can I ask you to expand? Sharanagati. So one can measure one's advancement by how much they're turning to Krishna in all circumstances in their life and taking shelter. Yeah. So people think that this taking shelter is a weakness. It's not. Actually, to see that there is someone greater than myself, that is someone greater who has more strength than I, and by becoming an instrument of Krishna, by becoming the servant of Krishna, then one can actually truly be happy. And Srila Prabhupada is a perfect example actually of this. Why? Because Prabhupada crossed 2 oceans, 3 continents, at the age of 70. You know, we hear these facts so many times, but really just comprehend. He crossed 2 oceans at the age of 70. Are there any devotees here at the age of 70 or close to it? Hare Krishna. Chaitanya Prabhu. So I think this is something that Bhakti Chaur Maharaj, he was speaking about with a few devotees at a GBC meeting that took place at a lunch program, and I was serving the lunch. And Bhakti Chaur Maharaj said that one cannot understand Srila Prabhupada's Sharanagati, taking shelter of Krishna, and what his accomplishment is until one reaches the age of 70. And so, Jayadev Prabhu, maybe one day I can hear from you how it must feel that at that age, Srila Prabhupada crossed 2 oceans, 3 continents at the age of 70, arriving in America with no idea whether to turn left or right. But Prabhupada did this with a wonderful mood. He didn't just do this willy-nilly. He did it with a wonderful conscious mood. And this is described actually very nicely in this poem, Markane Bhagavad Dharma. Yeah. In verses number 13 and 14, Tab kripa hale mor kata sudahabe sunya sabhar sokaduka jay guchibe aniyacho jadi prabhu amare nachate nachao nachao prabhu nachao se mate kastera putali jata nachao se mate. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. And this one's really nice. Try to hear this. Oh Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. Just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, oh Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion. Srila Prabhupada saying, I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge. But I have a strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Prabhupada is showing the way in which one can take shelter of Krishna. One can understand that by one's own strength, what can we really do? What can really we achieve? But by taking shelter in Krishna, then wonderful things that can happen. Prabhupada once said, he is Vaishnava, he is all-powerful. So one who is a Vaishnava is taking shelter of Krishna, and therefore Krishna gives him all facilities. So that was the second theme I wanted to explore. So the first was vastness of knowledge, Krishna's vastness of knowledge. A second was taking shelter, Sharanagati, not trying to measure Krishna's knowledge, but taking shelter. The third theme, which I took away, was this idea of pride and humility. So this being the Brahma Vimohan Leela, how can one not describe or try to describe pride or humility? And it's there, like I mentioned, that I am the best man in this world. I know everything. One thinks, why should I read Bhagavad Gita? I know everything. I have my own interpretation. Brahma, however, was able to understand that the Supreme Personality, Krishna, is Ishvara Parama Krishna. Pride and humility. So Brahma was overcast by Krishna's Maya. He thought himself as being supreme. And in the material world, we commonly understand that we are Aham and Mamati, we are the best by my means, by my strength. And in a recent class by Burijan Prabhu, he explained that the root cause of aparada to the holy name is explained that it's inattention, actually. The root cause of aparad, of offense to chanting the holy name, is inattention to chanting. And to avoid this inattention, this is really nice, one must beg for the mercy of the Lord. Go to a secluded place, be in the temple, go in front of Krishna and beg for his mercy. To beg to Krishna, to tell him, you know, for so many long years I've been absorbed in this material world, in me and mine, but now I'm turning to you, Krishna, as your sincere servant. Please accept me. Please, Krishna, you can actually save me. Please accept me. That's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once Sri Advaita Acharya Prabhu, in Chaitanya Lila, he was in the kirtan with Lord Chaitanya and his associates. And this was actually after the pastime of Jagai and Madhai. So Jagai and Madhai had just been saved, and Sri Advaita Acharya was there with Lord Chaitanya. And something mystical happened. The sins from Jagai and Madhai rose and evaporated from their bodies like a dark cloud and entered into Krishna. I mean, into Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya asked Sri Advaita Acharya, "How do I look?" And Sri Advaita Acharya said, "Black like Shyamasunda Krishna." So further on in that pastime, it's actually a very sweet pastime, Sri Advaita Acharya, he says a nice prayer. He says, "I fall at your feet and request you, just like you have given your mercy to these two sinners, these two murderers, these two drunkards, give your mercy to all who take shelter. Give to the poor. Give to the destitute, the sinners. But my Lord, don't give to the proud and the arrogant who are falsely inflated with pride." Lord Chaitanya said, "May that be, tatastu, may it be." So this is the qualification for begging to Krishna, is humility. What does it mean to beg to Krishna? What does it mean to... It means you've given up everything else. You have no means of other shelter. You have no other means of sharanagati. You don't want to take shelter elsewhere. Krishna, I'm turning to you, begging for your mercy. Yeah, on our own with pride, I can do it all myself. But we will learn actually that if we don't learn this from the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we don't learn this from the association of the Vaishnavas, humility will come through humiliation. If we don't want to understand this point by theory, that one must approach Krishna with humility, then Krishna will make some arrangement that this humiliation will occur. And that way, Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Gonitai Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah, it's something that our Puryojan Prabhu, he actually, when I was very young in the movement, he said this, and it stuck with me. I don't know why, but it got stuck in the mind, that if one cannot learn to be humble through the Bhagavatam and through the association of the devotees, then expect that some humiliation will occur externally. Expect that something will come that will humble us. And it's because you're all wonderful Vaishnavas, so Krishna wants to care for you. He wants you to come home. He's trying to connect with you. If we remember that post-it note, he's trying to connect with us. And the only way we can really connect with Krishna is through this mood of humility, by approaching Krishna with no other shelter. So that was the third theme that I want to explore, pride and humility. And the final theme I wanted to speak about today was this concept, which is given in the third paragraph of the purport, where it describes how Lord Brahma could only see Krishna because he became a devotee. So it says here in this third paragraph, Brahma did not see Krishna as Chaturbhuja, the opulent Narayan. Rather, he simply saw an innocent boy. People generally do not appreciate someone unless he shows something wonderful. But here, although Krishna did not manifest anything wonderful, Brahma could understand that the same wonderful person was present like an ordinary child, although he was the master of the whole creation. Then it further on says, when one becomes a devotee, then one can realize him. Brahma, therefore, became a devotee. In the beginning, he was proud of being Brahma, the Lord of the universe. But now he understood, here is the Lord of the universe. I am simply an insignificant agent. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. In Bhagavad Gita, I'll try and find it for you. Ah, yes. Yeah, sorry. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 11th chapter, 8th verse, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, neither Brahma nor the demigods like Indra can enter into the island of Swetadweep, but they can stand on the shore of the ocean of milk and transmit their message to Lord Vishnu, known as Shirodakshai Vishnu. Therefore, the Lord is rarely seen by them. But the inhabitants of Dwarka, because of their being pure devotees without any tinge of material contamination of fruitive activities and empiric philosophical speculation, can see him face to face by the grace of the Lord. So to unpack this a little bit, you can imagine the demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Indra can only approach the Lord as Shirodakshai Vishnu when they're not in this mentality of being a devotee. But they're calling to Lord Vishnu, Shirodakshai Vishnu, on the shore of the milk ocean. And they're calling to him. They're sitting, imagine standing on a shore and calling out to Shirodakshai Vishnu. Whereas the inhabitants of Dwarka, because of their being pure devotees without any tinge of material contamination of fruitive activities, they can see Krishna face to face. And this is by the grace of the Lord. Further on, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Madhya Leela 8.128, Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra Kenanya, Ye Krishna Tattva Veta, Sei Guru Haya. It does not matter whether a person is a Vipra, a learned scholar in Vedic wisdom, or is born in a lower family, or is in the renounced order of life. If he is the master of the science of Krishna, he is the perfect and bona fide spiritual master. So without being a master in the science of Krishna consciousness, no one is a bona fide spiritual master. So it doesn't matter if you're a learned scholar, if you're really well-versed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, or you're born in a lower family, or in the renounced order of life, if he is the master in the science of Krishna and understanding Krishna, then he's actually better than Lord Brahma and Lord Indra. For if they don't understand Krishna, if they're not devotees of Krishna, then how can they see Krishna? Something that Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj actually says quite a lot, that I once asked him, please give me some instruction, dear Maharaj. And he said, become a good devotee. And for years and years, he kept saying that. I think some of you may have heard him say this to you, become a good devotee. And so it struck me here when Lord Brahma can only see Krishna once he had become a devotee, once he had taken shelter. He had no other refuge. Yesterday I was listening to a class by Srila Prabhupada in the first canto, I think it was the 15th chapter, verse number 29, and Prabhupada said, I was driving along, and Prabhupada said, Krishna without the Vaishnavas is hellish. I had to stop the car, pause it, rewind it, listen to it again. Krishna without the Vaishnavas is hellish. How can one approach Krishna without the association of Vaishnavas to understand what it means to become a devotee? It's like described that, just like how a lotus flower, it needs both. It needs the sun and it needs the water underneath. Just like the sun is like Krishna, without the water, the lotus flower will wilt. And with only water, without the sun, again, the lotus flower will wilt. Without the devotees, without Guru, and without Krishna together, the lotus flower will wilt. So Krishna without Vaishnava is hellish, actually. When one becomes a devotee, then one can realize him. Brahma therefore became a devotee. In the beginning, he was proud of being Brahma, the Lord of the universe. But now he understood, here is the Lord of the universe. I'm simply an insignificant agent. Govindam Adi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. So this pastime is actually very, very sweet. There's so many different points one can take from it. But these were four things that I wanted to share with you today. First was, Krishna is full of knowledge and we cannot comprehend the vastness of his knowledge. Second, that the only way to understand, or rather, one cannot understand Krishna's knowledge. So what is the best course of action? To surrender, sharanagati, to take shelter of Krishna. How does one take shelter of Krishna? Through understanding that I am a humble jiva, I have no qualification. There is pride and humility always at play in our hearts. We have to try to feed the good dog and not nourish pride. And finally, Krishna can be seen by becoming a devotee. So these are the four themes I wanted to share with you today. Forgive me that they're really basic, but this is my understanding. And maybe if you bless me, I'm in an assembly of Vaishnavas, and it's described that if one in an assembly of Vaishnavas publicly asks for blessings and publicly says, look, I'm full of pride and I need your blessings, then actually the Vaishnavas can bestow. So I'm humbly asking for your blessings that maybe one day I can understand these four concepts and become a devotee of Krishna. So I wanted to thank you very, very much for listening to me, for tolerating me, and forgive me for my offenses. But if there's any comments, questions, feedback, anything at all, I'm all ears.